good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Open Lines. This is, I was going to say one of my favorite parts of the show, but I feel like I say that all the time. At 10, I like Bugs and Hugs. We welcome Belton at 11, Green and White Progs at 12. Friday's show is always fun, but right now we have the open lines for you, 1-877-332-8255. It's the same number to text or call. Texts are pouring in on Canada Post. Calls are coming in on Photo Radar. Both of those, I think, great topics. So Canada Post, just if we recap what's going on there, yesterday it was announced that there was going to be significant changes to service delivery when it comes to Canada Post. Things like getting rid of home delivery. Now, it's not happening over the next year. This is a decade-long process, but essentially moving away from home delivery and moving to super boxes at the end of the street, at the end of the block. Mail delivery maybe happening less frequently, every other day, those types of things. And a possible end of life for some post offices in Canada. We don't know details of that yet, but of course, all of these details have some people worried. Has the union that represents postal workers angry, frustrated, and, well, defiant, off the job? Officially, the strike is back on. Postal workers are on strike. You will see them picketing in communities around the province, and there will be no mail moving other than, I believe they've reached an agreement on things like social insurance checks, those types of things. So there are a couple of what they call more lifeline deliveries that will still happen. But for the most part, it is a complete cessation of mail delivery. Do you agree? This is the question. Do you agree with the federal government's plan to restructure mail delivery in Canada? Is it time? Was the writing on the wall? Could you see this coming miles away? That service delivery, Canada Post, couldn't continue to operate the way it was. I mean, it has been losing, they say, on average, $10 million per day. $10 million per day. I've got friends, we talked about this before, I've got friends who, one of them recently retired from the Postal Service and said, we got to change the way we do business. There's just no two ways about it. It has to change. Could this have been done in a way that maybe the union would have been on board? Could it be weaved into a collective agreement? You have to think maybe there was a better way to do it. We will have guests on this as this story continues to develop, but I'm curious to know your thoughts. Do you think it's time that this restructure of mail delivery in Canada happens? 1-877-332-8255. The other story that I'm interested in is Doug Ford says enough's enough when it comes to speed cameras. He doesn't like them. He thinks it's a money grab. Now, keep in mind, his government finalized automated speed enforcement legislation in 2019. So, I mean, this was something they brought in, but sober second thought, 6 years later, he says it's a money grab and we're getting away from it. There's lots of reasons why Photo Radar doesn't make significant enhancements to public safety because it's not an immediate deterrent, right? You end up getting your notice in the mail weeks later. So it's not like getting pulled over by a police officer. That said, I think there are some areas like school zones, for example, where maybe they serve their purpose. If they slow people down just for that chunk of the road, is it enhancing safety for the kids in school zones, parents walking their children to school, those types of things. So phone lines open on either of those issues or whatever you would like to talk about. 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to start today with Joe in Prince Albert. How are you this Friday, Joe?
I'm doing great, thanks.
That's good. So Photo Radar, are you a guy that says you love it, it serves its purpose, or is this, no, not doing anything?
Well, it's interesting. My situation has to do a little bit with Canada Post as well. I moved to Prince Albert about 8 years ago, and I came from Regina where I had home delivery. So, of course, your habit was to check your mailbox every morning.
Of course.
Once I moved into my home, after months of not receiving any mail, I was informed that they don't have home delivery. I have to go to the box down the street. So in today's society, with a lot of electronic communication, I don't check my mail often at all, perhaps once a month. And just the other day, I was expecting a credit card by mail, so I purposely went to my mailbox and found that I had a photo radar ticket from Saskatoon. The date of the infraction was June 15th. The date the ticket was issued was August 22nd.
Oh, my gosh. Two months later.
Yes, and I found it, just late last week. So had I not gone to my mailbox for some other reason, I could have missed this thing completely. Prince Albert is a city that has school zones that are active school is in session and inactive after school hours and inactive on weekends. My infraction was at 6:15 on a Saturday in Saskatoon. So my little bit of a beef is that there's, when I phoned the city of Saskatoon because I wanted to, I tried to Google where the cameras were located because obviously I missed it. I found an old picture from dated about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I phoned the city of Saskatoon to try to find out the location of the cameras. And I made that call on September 19th. Still haven't heard back from anybody.
Hmm.
But the concern I have is the inconsistency between cities. And I'm curious to know, because a fellow workmate, his wife got a ticket at the same location. She's a Prince Albert resident. Is there enough awareness of, of the rules, regulations? Is there enough signage and visible?
I feel like there's lots here, Joe. Number one, let's just go back to the fact that it took 2 months for the ticket to get issued. That's my beef with photo radar is if you're driving this morning down, I don't care, Pickett Circle Drive in Saskatoon and Ring Road in Regina or a highway in this province and you're speeding, and you get pulled over by a police officer, whether you're happy or not to get pulled over, it's an immediate deterrent or reminder that there's a danger to it. There's speed limits, there's rules, and you have to follow the rules. Getting it 8 weeks after the fact feeds into, and I've told the story before while I was still at RPS, we had a traffic officer who would get the notice of the ticket. They had to actually officially sign it, although it was processed in Edmonton. The officers would have to sign the tickets before they go out. And he was signing like a ticket a day for a fella, but the person hadn't even received the first one yet. And I think he was six or seven tickets deep. So the police officer picked up the phone, talked to the guy on the phone and said, "Hey, Mike," not his real name, by the way. "Hey, Mike, do you drive through this intersection or this piece of road in the city on your way to work or school or something every day?" He said, "Yeah, absolutely, I do." "Well, just so you know, you've got 8 tickets coming in the mail and you haven't even received the first one yet." So, I mean, the cop at RPS did what they could to just try and change his driving behavior so he didn't get 16 of them. Like, that's the problem. Now, in a school zone, if it consistently slows people down, I think there's an argument to be made that it's doing its job. So I'm curious to know your thoughts on speed enforcement, and I'm talking automated speed enforcement. Putting a camera up on a roadway, at an intersection, in a school zone, near a park, whatever the case may be, good? Should we keep it? Or do you agree with Doug Ford? It's just a money grab. Let's go to Ari in Saskatoon. How are you today?
I'm good, Evan. You know, I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but you can get a device installed on your car that tells you how fast your wheels are turning on the road. So when you come to the big sign that tells you how fast they should be going, you can match the two.
You can get that device installed in your cars.
You can. You can get it digitally or old school analog, however you'd like. But the idea that says it's the camera's fault because I'm speeding, that's ridiculous. First, that's just, it's just garbage logic. Your argument that it slows down, that it has any effect on traffic safety, is the same argument that says we should take off taxes on cigarettes because it slows down. Like people, if the cigarettes get too expensive, they're not going to stop smoking. So we should take it off. They'll stop smoking anyways, right? It's not a problem. Is it a cash grab? Of course it is. Any sin tax is a cash grab. Now here, does it affect traffic safety? Of course it does, because where does that money go? It goes back into other areas of enforcement.
You're right. Usually environmental traffic control, so curbing, speed or calming. I don't think they like speed bumps anymore. Last I heard, they were moving away from speed bumps, but other traffic calming environmental design changes is, I think, what they use.
And I think this is a whole fundamental thing about, it's not my problem that I sped. The problem is that I got caught. And I could beat the system by just taking my right foot and just pulling it back just a bit. And if I know I have a problem with it, I even have a little thing, a button that'll take my foot right off it, but it'll keep the speed the same.
You've given me a really good anatomy of a vehicle here, Ari, today.
Yeah, and I can beat speed cameras. I totally can. Have I gotten a speed ticket? Of course I have, because I made a mistake.
Right.
Did I get it, 2 months later? Sure. And after I got that ticket, I'll be honest, for the next 6 weeks, I was hypervigilant about seeing where the speed camera signs were.
Right. Well,
it slowed me down.
Sure. And I mean, people obviously get used to where they are in the city. If you travel on Circle Drive in Saskatoon, I always laugh because when the speed camera is getting close, brake lights on every car come on because all of the cars slow down, cruise past the speed camera, and then about 500 to 700 meters later, by the way, those cameras are good for 1 kilometer, I believe. But anyway, a short distance later, once they feel they're out of the view of the camera, the speed goes back up again. Now, it calmed the driving. It reduced the speeding for a short period. In the case of school zones or parks, those types of recreational areas, people are saying that's okay. That's what we want. We want people to at least slow down in that area. Argue maybe on those higher speed corridors, does it really make that much of a difference? 1-877-332-8255. Speed cameras, Canada Post, whatever you would like to chat about. I think we better take a break. We're getting up against a break here. I've still got a few callers on the line, and I got lots of texts coming in as well. Open lines here for you today on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Yes, wait a minute, Mr. Bozeman. Wait, hey, Mr. Bozeman.
Hey, Mr. Bozeman,
whoa, yeah. Welcome back to Open Lines, 1-877-332-8255. Now, we've been talking about photo radar or speed enforcement, automated speed enforcement. We've been talking about Canada Post, and we're going to jump back to that in a second. But I got Greg standing by in Regina with a quick PSA involving bats, ? What do you got for me, Greg?
Okay, I'm in Saskatoon, by the way.
Okay, good. What do you got for me?
So I used to work for an insulation company, and I used to have a problem with pigeons in my insulation trailers. Eh? They poop on the bags, and it was just gross, or they just come flying out at me and while I'm trying to grab material. My boss brought to work a fishnet, and it was a great way to catch them. Now, you can use these also for bats, and this way you're not necessarily having to touch them, but you can catch them, and then you can just trap them, and then do call the authorities or whatnot, and this way you don't your risk of getting bitten are much lower.
For sure it would be. Well,
and you're not hurting them either.
It's a good tip for sure, Greg. I appreciate you calling in. This is in light of the fact that a rabies-carrying bat has been identified in Warman. So the city is advising residents use extra caution with your pets and your kids, especially if you see a bat during daylight hours, an indication that they could be positive for rabies. But yeah, I wouldn't encourage you go chasing them down with a net, but if you find yourself in a situation where you want to protect yourself, Greg, good suggestion. Appreciate the call. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Darcy now in Saskatoon. Canada Post workers out on strike this morning. What do you make of this? Is it time we change the service delivery model for how we get our mail?
Let us go back 11 years to a fabulous prime minister by the name of Stephen Harper.
who at the time, during an election, said, we need to change the way Canada Post works because they're losing money every year. Stephen Harper was going to bring in super boxes for everybody in the country for home delivery. You wouldn't get it anymore. 11 years ago. Justin Trudeau campaigned, oh, no, 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 we'll save Canada Post. We'll save Canada Post. How's that working for the elbows up crowd today?
Mm-hmm.
They bought into it, and now we're losing, what, $300 million a year?
Well, I've heard it's $10 million a day is what I'm hearing, yeah.
Okay, well, let's just put it to you this way. What was needed 11 years ago was Canada Post to stop mail delivery and basically try and save some money there and redo things. Now we're going to do it, and it's only 11 years later. Let's say that's about $3 billion the taxpayers have had to fork over to Canada Post to keep their people employed. And how many hospitals could we have built with $3 billion, Evan? How many?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. The only thing I would say is that let's not suggest that postal service delivery isn't important. And I'm not saying you are suggesting that, Darcy. But I mean, we need a postal service. Clearly we do. It's just that it's changed so much. The amount of times I live in a city, of course, so I have to my door delivery at this point that's going to be changing, and I'm 100% okay with that. Many days I flip the mailbox open and there's nothing in there. Or if there is, it's flyers. I mean, the number of actual letters that I get in the mail, most of our bills and those types of things come electronically. And so it has changed so much that it's just clear that it's not sustainable to carry it on this way. Now, we have reached out to a union leader who we are going to have on the show first thing on Monday morning. We also will have a labor lawyer on the show Monday morning. So as we watch this progress through the weekend, we will hear from a couple of different sides, obviously, on this issue. But for this morning, I just wanted to open the phone lines up to hear from you, what you think. 1-877-332-8255. Open lines means we can chat about whatever you like. I want to grab this call from Darlene in Melfort this morning. How are you, Darlene?
Doing well, thank you.
Good to have you. What have you got on your mind today?
Well, I enjoyed the session you had with John Gormley and Doug Richardson yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say I think you should have them on about every 150 days just so... They give their perspective on what they think what is happening in Ottawa.
Yeah, I agree with you, Darlene. I love listening to the two of them. And, you know, it makes for entertaining listening, entertaining radio. But both of them very plugged in on the national level and have great opinions. Here's the challenge. I mean, every 150 days, I would say that's doable, having them on. Maybe even I could say quarterly. So let's have them on four times in the year. They're number one, they're both retired. Well, they're trying to be retired. They're working as lawyers. So even coordinating this date, we originally wanted to try and get them on at about the 100-day mark of this government. But because of some schedules and whatever, we ended up with yesterday. So couldn't agree more. Love having both of them on the program. The feedback is always good. And I will tell you that we will continue to have regular check-ins with those two or other political panel guests that we can bring on the program. So, Darlene, thank you for that. Appreciate the call. Okay, let's take another break. James is standing by in Saskatoon with some thoughts on photo radar and lots of texts. And when I say lots of texts, the photo radar texts are literally a constant. It's like a slot machine this morning on the text line. They are coming in fast and furious. So I want to get to some of your texts. We'll do that in a second. It's open lines, sliding into bugs and hugs at 10 o'clock. So lots of time to hear from you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who have opinions on the photo radar situation. The number of people who have, and I'm just summarizing, that have texted in and told the story of essentially an offense happens this day. I'm not aware of it. I get a ticket 8 months or 8 weeks later. Some people are saying in up to 3 months later. And some people are saying maybe this is a combined topic of photo radar tickets and our postal service, which we're talking about both today. But people agreeing that having some sort of a ticket come to you in the mail a number of weeks after the infraction likely doesn't correct your behavior immediately. People using the word cash grab. Here's a text saying, I think speed cameras should be included in high-risk areas where collisions are common. I'm going to read the rest of the text, but that's a very astute point. You ask yourself, if you're putting cameras on, let's say, Circle Drive in Saskatoon or Ring Road in Regina, is speed the reason for the accidents that happen on those roadways? If I'm not saying there isn't accidents, but if speed isn't the main cause of the accidents, is it then just leaning to a money grab? So back to the texter, speed cameras included on high-risk areas where collisions are common. For example, the intersection of Highways 2 and 41 at Waka is a high-risk intersection known to locals. In 2020, they introduced cameras, reduced speed to 80 kilometers an hour. I don't have the stats, but accidents have certainly, anecdotally, decreased. So putting the cameras in high-risk areas where collisions are common is something that many people online are supporting. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. Let's go back to the phone line. I got James in Saskatoon. Photo radar, does it serve a purpose in our province, James?
Absolutely not. Yeah, photo radar is the epitome of woke culture.
Why do you say that?
I say that because it is of the belief that if we just go slower, Evan, if we all hold hands and go slower, it will all be better. We'll all be better, and that's not the thing. What we're not doing is making attentive drivers. We're not making attentive drivers. We're saying that if you go a little faster, that all of a sudden you're a bad person, right? And so what that ends up happening is in the psyche of everybody, we see that the people don't have drive with confidence or capacity. And what ends up happening is we know that it's the variance of speed other from the posted limit, right? So you know as well as I do, I do because of my background from the planning community, is that if you want to understand what a roadway's natural speed is, take the signs off. Take the signs off and you'll in quick order, people will always drive at a speed that is safe for them. Nobody wants to hurt themselves or their families.
So just let me stop you, James, and don't go away, but I just want to ask, because the whole notion of speed limits is really to try and understand that higher speed gives you less reactionary time, and we know that speed can lead to devastating consequences if an accident occurs. So that's the reason why we have speed limits. It's all about safety. So are you suggesting that photo radar needs to go, or are you suggesting that speed limits are not doing their job?
I'm suggesting to you that certainly photo radar needs to go. I think that it has proven itself over and over and over again that it is nothing short of a involuntary tax. It's as simple as that. Because I'm an active speeder. There's no doubt about it. I travel, though, every day, many, many miles every day, right?
Well, at least you're self-aware, James.
Well, I am, but I'm a very safe driver, right? There are people that have the capacity to drive fast. Like we see every week in NASCAR races, right? But we don't see people that are unaware of their surroundings.
Well, fair enough. You cut out there, James. Sorry. Good thing we don't know your plate number and the type of truck you drive. Otherwise, Saskatoon police would be setting up on you right now with your admission that you're a regular speeder. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Edwin in Regina. Photo radar, do you like it, Edwin?
I think it's a cash trap. I have a bone to pick with you also, Evan.
Okay.
You said that we should put photo radar in school zones for public safety. Well, in Regina, we have signs that say no stopping or parking in school zones, and the city of Regina will not go out and ticket these cars, which are creating a safety issue in school zones. If they go as far as they go out, they send traffic out there, they'll tell the people to move, park enforcement leaves, they're right back parking there.
Yeah.
So all of those public safety issues.
Yeah. Why are you picking a bone with me?
Because you said it's a safety issue to have the
cash. Okay. I got you. I just wanted to clarify. So let's talk about that. So number one, I do feel that if you are going to put photo radar up somewhere it makes sense to target areas, especially school zones that might be on a high traffic corridor. Like we've got high schools that are on main roadways, those types of things. Often you put the photo radar up there, it changes traffic behavior. So and like our texter said, if you also target areas that we know are high likelihood of collisions or have had a high number of accidents over the last number of years, that might be a good place to put it. The whole notion of photo radar, I mean, if you think of the concept of it, whether it's photo radar or any sort of non-human being enforcement, it is to save from, think about how many schools there are in the city of Regina. Use that as an example. I actually don't know the number off the top of my head. I want to say like 13 high schools, and each one of them has 14 feeder elementary schools. There's no way you could put police officers in every school zone. So they will do enforcement blitzes, including, by the way, parking, which is what Edwin was just talking about. They will do enforcement blitzes in school zones to try and get the message across. Yeah, the cities might have their own bylaw enforcement that is separate from the police that would go out and do some of that. But it's, to me, it's more of an, if you can use environmental controls. So if you have curbing, if you have pylons that you can put out, if you have school safety patrollers, who we know are in school zones in many different areas, after school, before school, those types of things, they often can be just as successful. Even those radar signs. I read a stat once that putting a sign up that tells you what your speed is and how much you're over the speed limit is 95% effective in reducing speed. May not get you right down to the speed limit, but 95% of the time, just having a speed sign up in an area will cause drivers to reduce their speed. That's a pretty effective way to do it. So if you know that you can be successful by doing that, do you need the photo radar, or then does it become a money grab, or is it enhancing public safety? 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Eric in Swift Current. Have you got photo radar in Swift Current, Eric?
Not in Swift Current, but we do have those signs that tell you how fast you're going.
Right. The speed signs, right.
But I actually came to Saskatchewan from Ontario, and I drove all over the GTA, and I can tell you it was an absolute gong show. 120 was the bare minimum if you didn't want to get yourself run over from the back end. And people were regularly doing like, buck 30, buck 40. And
just to keep up with the flow of traffic.
Yeah, yeah. And even just to try and get ahead. And to think that behaviors are going to get better, or that currently the distracted and bad behaviors that we're seeing are going to go away because you're allowed to drive faster all of a sudden, I think it's a little bit of a backwards mentality. But I can tell you, too, that coming out here, when my mom comes to visit me, one of the big comments that she has is how civilized the driving is by comparison. So, I attribute a lot of that to the fact that we do have some of this photo radar. And, it's rules that everybody has to play by. Because fast driving isn't safe driving. And, my opa always used to say, when things happen, they happen fast. So, right. You think you have time. You think you're this, hotshot hero going down the road like 90. Well, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it and somebody gets hurt, who's to blame?
Appreciate the perspective. It's interesting to hear from someone who has come from a different province with a perspective of our drivers. Because how often are you and I complaining? I mean, I've said many times, I think Regina has the worst drivers in the province. Some people in Saskatoon disagree, say, no, we want that title. We have the worst drivers. But man, I can get frustrated with, drivers, I guess, anywhere. But when you hear someone like Eric who says, look, I moved here from Ontario, and I think your drivers and the drivers in this province are actually quite civilized. Do a pretty good job. It's interesting. I got time for one more call here before we take our next break. So I want to go to Arnold in Saskatoon. Thanks for calling in, Arnold. Where are you at on this photo radar topic?
I'm in 100% in support of it.
You like it?
Yes.
What do you like about it? Just that you think it's a good reminder of us to slow down?
Well, absolutely. We insist on driving too fast. I drive roads all the time and consistently drive the speed limit, and I'm always too slow. And I think we should take away the warning signs that there is photo radar, just post the speed limit, increase the number of cameras, and abide by the law, and everything's going to be okay.
Okay, there you go. That's a different perspective on it. So not get rid of them, let's add more of them. Let's utilize them more throughout the province. Now, let's just pull this back for a second. The province of Saskatchewan is not looking at getting rid of the speed cameras. Ontario is. Doug Ford has said, enough's enough. This is a cash grab. The province of Saskatchewan has committed to the program. It is limited in use right now, so it's not everywhere in the province. You see it on a couple of highways in a few different spots. You see it in a couple of the larger urban centers, on some roadways, in some school zones. But at this point, they are not stepping away from it. And as one of our callers pointed out earlier, the revenue generated from that, in at least the municipalities, and I believe the province as well, is woven back into traffic safety budgets. So they will use it for a variety of different things. Some of it is actual policing or different like stop check programs, those types of things. So bringing police officers out Christmas time, those types. But other places, it's to put into signage, the speed signs that we talked about, other traffic calming initiatives, environmental changes to the roadway to slow people down. So that's where the revenue is earmarked. Okay, let's take our last break on open lines. Now, don't be deterred if you didn't get through yet on open lines. I've got a ton of texts I'm going to try and read yet. But we're going right into Bugs and Hugs at 10 o'clock. So that means it's literally open lines into open lines. Bugs and Hugs is an opportunity for you just to call in and let us know what's bugging you. And we'll open it up, not just Photo Radar, not just Canada Post, anything you want to talk about. That's, of course, open for Bugs and Hugs here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. That's a good song if you're playing Guess the Song with friends. Who sang that song? Driver's Seat? Because you recognize the song. I know lots of you know Sniffing the Tears, the artist that sang that one. But great song and appropriate song as we're talking about Photo Radar today. Doug Ford is saying he wants to get rid of it. In Ontario, he calls it a cash grab, even though, by the way, it was his government that brought in the legislation in 2019. But no, he's done a 180 on it now, wants to get rid of it. I'm asking you what your thoughts are on that. We've had lots of great texts. I got a text from Carl. Says, Germany, as you know, has a much higher speed limits with the Autobahn, but have had an actual lower traffic fatality rate compared to Canada. So sending some stats here, 4.1 deaths per 100,000 people. Canada's rate was 5.8 per 100,000 people. So wondering if speed plays into it, that Autobahn. I've never been on the Autobahn in Germany, but there are big chunks of that where there's absolutely no speed limit. They recommend 130 kilometers an hour, which is about 81 miles an hour. And there are sections where they've actually got some speed limits. But for the most part, it's basically drive at a speed you feel comfortable. And they ask you to adjust for weather and traffic conditions and those types of things. But is that the way to go? The other topic that we've been talking about a lot, and I want to get to a couple of texts here, is this notion of Canada Post changing the way it's doing business. Clinton Lumsden says, so Canada Post is losing $10 million a day, and the government is going to make some changes. You're telling the public this is happening, and the union's idea is to go on strike and stop the mail service and upset the public. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Another text here from Tom and Wilkie. I've been driving for my mail 10 miles for 60 years. You don't need door-to-door mail service. Thank you, Tom, for the text. Len in Regina said, I haven't had door delivery in 26 years, and I can confirm it's not a necessity. Put the super mailboxes at the grocery stores or convenience stores like it was originally. Len, thank you for that text. 1-877-332-8255. I want to go to Rick in Candle Lake. Your thoughts on the Postal Service and some of the changes we're hearing might be happening, Rick?
Well, I think it's dysfunctional to begin with. I just moved out from Acreages south of Saskatoon. There was four of us actually moved out. There's about 200 boxes there. I went into the main post office to cancel those boxes, and they said there's no way of canceling them. So I'm wondering how many empty boxes are out there. So the other day I went back out to check the mailboxes, and they're stuffed right full of garbage.
And you couldn't cancel them?
You cannot cancel them. So I went down to the head office and said, I want to cancel them. And no, there's no way of doing that. I'm telling you, I still got four keys for four mailboxes.
So were you wanting to change to just a different address, like have your mail go to a different address?
Yes, we moved to Candle Lake, so we wanted to change it from the rural boxes to Candle Lake.
Wow. That is a head scratch. That is a good way to lead into Bugs and Hugs, because, Rick, I would be bugged by that as well. We go into Bugs and Hugs here at 10 o'clock with the phone lines open for you. Happy to hear what's bugging you, what's on your mind, or maybe you want to send out a hug this Friday. Happy to hear from you either way. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.